إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. يقول الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم وأصدق القائلين: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. I bear witness that there is none worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is none to guide aright. In the last khutbah, we spoke about Ramadan and what we can learn from that month. And today, inshallah, we'll continue that line of thinking. We mentioned that Islam stands on two feet. One foot is your relationship with Allah, and the second foot is your relationship with the people. Ibadat wa mu'amalat. So relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the acts of worship, the fasting, the salah, the hajj, and so on and so forth. And your relationship with the people, and by extension all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, is to be honest and good and sincere and kind and so on and so forth. Because there's no point if we fast and pray and then do different ibadat, and when it comes to your relationship with the people, it's messed up, you will lose a big deal. And everyone knows the hadith in Sahih Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks about al-muflisun, al-muflis, the bankrupt, the people who will come on the day of judgment and they will be broke. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they are the ones who fast and pray and do hajj every year, but when they come on the day of judgment, they stole from this, they killed that, they betrayed this, they cheated that, so they will lose their hasanat. اليوم ان شاء الله نتكلم عن يعني مساله تتعلق بالصدق والامانه. One of the akhlaq of the Muslims is honesty. صدق والامانه. And this is one of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He describes himself in the Quran as a sadiq. في سورة النساء وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. That no one is more truthful in their speech than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's one of the qualities of Allah, and it's also one of the qualities of the Anbiya. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان الصادق الأمين. The honest, the reliable, and the sincere. It's also one of the qualities of the prophets. Ibrahim alayhi salam, innahu kana siddiqan nabiyya. Ibrahim alayhi salam was honest, and he was a prophet. Wa Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusufu ayyuha siddiq. Yusuf, O man of truth. So it's a quality of the prophets. It's also a quality of the believers. When you read about believers at the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. In the middle of the description, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. One of the qualities of the true believers is that they are true to their trusts and covenants. So they are honest, they don't betray. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talk about hypocrites, al-munafiqun, and the people who are not true believers, one of their qualities is that they are dishonest. La imana liman la amanata lah. The Prophet ﷺ says in the authentic hadith, if someone does not have amana, they are dishonest, they are not true believers, they don't have true faith. And the Prophet ﷺ also says that when amana is lost, then this is one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. إِذَا ضُيَّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةَ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. In this authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, when people are dishonest, this is one of the signs that the end of times are coming. And subhanAllah, when you look around and you read the news and you see the dishonesty, no amana, on all different levels, individuals, families, politicians, countries, states, and so on and so forth. Families are broken, families collapse and fall apart because of dishonesty. People are lying, people are faking. Countries are destroyed because of corrupt and dishonest politicians. You don't need to go so far, just think about Iraq, for example. All the lies and all the dishonesty, and how many people have been killed? Over a million and a half, hundreds of thousands of people get killed because of dishonesty. How many orphans in the Muslim world? It's the biggest part of the world where you have orphans and widows and refugees. They come from the Muslim world because of dishonesty and because of greed from some countries in that area and outside. Dishonesty and greed, as the Prophet ﷺ said. Dishonesty is everywhere, even on the individual level, when you talk to someone. And subhanAllah, this is the messed up mentality that we have. There's a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. The ulama say the hadith is not very authentic, but some parts of the hadith make a lot of sense. The Prophet ﷺ says, before the day of judgment, common sense will be nonsense. And nonsense would be perceived as common sense. So in our time, common sense is not very common anymore. So some people, when they trick you, when they deceive you and betray you, for them it is not dishonesty, they are just being smart and intelligent. Some people, to sell an apartment or to sell a car, they have to be dishonest to be able to make a profit and make money and pay their bills. They don't care. And for them, because they have been doing it for so long, this becomes the norm for them. And if you are honest, they think, oh, this guy is an idiot. You have to be smart. This is what they think. Because they are doing it, and they think everyone is like them, dishonest, and they can make a profit only if they are dishonest, and the honest people are idiots in their mind. This is why you see problems all the time. Dishonesty everywhere, in the workplace, in families, and so on and so forth. When people tell you, inshallah, in their mind, like, I'm gonna do something, inshallah, in their mind, they know they are not doing it, and this is why they say, inshallah, they are dishonest with Allah, and they are dishonest with the people. Politicians, subhanAllah, in our countries back home, especially in the Arab countries, MPs and these politicians, you know that, when you see them in the masjid, like once every 5 years, you know that the elections are coming soon. This is why they are coming to pray and they take pictures and the photo ops. And when they get re-elected, you never see them again, right? Dishonesty, like they are playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the people. So much so that subhanAllah, some people, like when they borrow a book from you, happened with me all the time. Like, someone likes a book, they take it, they never bring it back. They say, wallahi, look at me, I'll give it back. There's no question. You will never see it again, right? There was this brother, he was teaching his son, and he said, son, they were sitting in their library. And the father said to his son, son, never lend a book to anyone, even to your closest friend. Don't give them a book, because they will never give it back. So the son said, okay, dad, how do you know? And he said, do you see all the books in my library? They're not mine. So he took them from some other people and never gave them back. So he is teaching his son. And this is one thing we need to learn, that people are not born dishonest. People are not born racist. People are not born thieves and liars and cheaters. This is something they learn from each other, especially from the parents. And we know it all the time. Like our kids, they like to tell the truth, and sometimes they get you in trouble because they tell the truth. Like when someone calls, and you don't like that guy, you don't want to talk to them, and you tell your son, tell them I'm not here. And your kids will say, oh, uncle, ya ammu, my dad said he's not here, and he's, la hawla, you got me in trouble, ya ibn. And he hits him with the shoe. Like, things happen. We teach them how to lie, and we teach them how to be dishonest. And this is the only way we teach them that you will be in trouble if you tell the truth. Because everything is messed up from the top down. So dishonesty everywhere. And again, if we learn dishonesty when we are young, we can unlearn it. If we follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Islam, we can unlearn it. And so on and so forth. So what does it mean to be honest in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's very simple. Islam does not complicate things for people. Honesty means you say what you mean and you mean what you say. What's in your heart is on your tongue. Your inside is like your outside. Your actions are in agreement with your words. You don't say something and do something else. So this is honesty. العلماء يقسمون الصدق والأمان إلى ثلاثة أقسام: الصدق مع الله، والصدق مع الناس، والصدق مع النفس. So the ulama classify amana and sidq, this quality that we're talking about today, into three types. The first one is your sidq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are honest and sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, when you do an act of worship, you do it purely for the sake of Allah. Like when you give money for the sake of Allah, not for the people. When you do ibadah like salah, it's for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the people. And there's this scary hadith in Sahih al-Tirmidhi, where the Prophet ﷺ says, إِيَّاكُمْ يعني وَالْكُفْرِ الشِّرْكِ الْأَصْغَرِ. The Prophet ﷺ is warning the Sahaba against the minor shirk, and the Sahaba said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا الشِّرْكِ الْأَصْغَرِ. He said, الرياء, رياء, showing off. And he said, on the Day of Judgment, some of you, like from the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ, they will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment to take the reward, ثواب. And Allah will tell them, you were doing good things in dunya, so people will say good things about you. You were not doing it for me, so you already got your reward in dunya. I got no reward for you. It's a scary hadith. Now remember all the sadaqah and all the zakah and the hajj, and on the Day of Judgment, nothing. You wasted your time and your effort and your money for nothing. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّي أَحْدًا. The last ayah of Surah Kahf that we read every Jum'ah talks about this, that whoever wants to get the reward from Allah, they should do good deeds and not associate anyone with their niyyah. Here it talks about shirk asghar, your niyyah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't do it for the people, you do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you come across someone who is dishonest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't trust him. For example, someone would come to propose for your door, and this person doesn't pray. Like, they never pray in their lives. And ya ammu, inshallah, I'll make salah. No, no, no. If they have no respect for Allah, wallahi, they will have no respect for your door. Believe me. I've seen so many stories. People fake and people make things up. Right? If they are dishonest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be dishonest with you. They will have no respect for your daughter because they have no respect for Allah. So remember my beautiful face and remember these words. If someone is dishonest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be dishonest with you. The second type of people, من يكذبون على الناس, people who have no honesty with the people. How they cheat them, they lie to them, and they betray them, and so on and so forth. Their words are not in agreement with what they say. So, ليس عندهم أمانة ولا إخلاص مع الناس. They are dishonest with the people. I remember I was in South Carolina for a number of years. And there was a brother, he came with his family from a Muslim country, and he wanted to buy a car. He was a student, his budget was very tight because he went to college there, and he had like three or four kids. And he was able to put together $4,000 to buy a car, a van for himself and his family. So if I remember correctly, his wife had to sell her gold, and he had to borrow money, and he already had a student loan for whatever. Things were difficult for him. They have what they call Kijiji, or a Craigslist. It's like Kijiji in Canada. So he looked, he narrowed down the search, and he found four or five people. And sometimes when you leave your information, you leave your name. So you have Chris and you have John. And eventually he found one of the four to be Muhammad. Okay, mashallah, Muslim brother. I trust him. I'm going to call the brother. Mashallah, he has a car and he was in another place. Like he was, say, for example, in Mississauga. The other brother was in Scarborough. So he drove like 1 hour to go there. Of course, someone had to drop him off because he didn't have a car. Hey Muhammad, how are you doing? MashaAllah, I trust you. Is there anything wrong with the car? Nothing. This is an excellent car, excellent condition. So the brother trusted him because he didn't want to deal with someone not from the community because he trusted his Muslim brother. Everything is good. Wallahi, come on, it's a beautiful car. Look, not everything is good, excellent condition. So the brother paid him the 4,000 and he left. The other guy who gave him a ride left before him and he drove after. And he said on the way, his family was with him. And before he could even reach his house, smoke was coming out from the car like hell. He felt like World War II was coming behind him. And he said, I got out of the car, I tried to close the door and the door fell down. He slammed the door and the door fell down. He took it to the mechanic because he trusted the guy. He didn't take it to the mechanic before they made the deal because wallahi, wallahi, so he trusted him. And he said, I took it to the mechanic. It seemed to him that the brother who sold him the car played with the mileage. Like it was like 250,000 and the guy made it like 45,000. So, you know, dishonesty to the highest levels. So he said, he told me, like, the brother was there in the masjid all the time, so he told me what happened. And he was making dua against the brother all the time. And he said, I tried to call the brother, Brother Muhammad. He threw away his phone. He doesn't answer anymore. He said, I tried to call him for 2 weeks, no answer. Then eventually he went to the masjid in the other city. He spoke with the imam and he said, he described him to the imam. He said, yeah, I see him in Eid. You know, he comes sometime. So he took him to his house. He knew, like by asking different people in the community, he was able to find him. And he said, well, I don't have the money, the 4,000, they are gone. I gave you the car in perfect condition. I don't know what you did with the car. You got into an accident, I don't know. Like, so he is dishonest and now he is lying. He said, I want my money back. You don't know how I put this money together, man. I need the money, I need the car badly for my family. So eventually he said, you know, because I'm a good guy, the dishonest guy. This is how people think of themselves. If they are dishonest, they'll say, I'm a very good guy. Like, Fir'aun in the Quran, he is calling Musa alayhi salam, sahirun gadhab. He's a liar and a magician. Like, he is blaming his own faults on Musa alayhi salam. So he said, because I'm a good guy, although I spent the money, I'm going to give your money back. But I have one condition. I'll pay you back by installments. So you will come to me, inshallah, every month, and I will give you $50 every month because I'm a good guy, right? So subhanAllah, that was the situation back then. There is a story of Bilal radiallahu anhu. We're almost at the end of the khutbah, but there is this story from Bilal radiallahu anhu. His brother wanted to get married. يعني أخوه أبو بلال رضي الله عنه صحابي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أراد التزوج والصحابة كانوا يفهمون معنى الصدق والأمانة لأن هذا شيء يعني تعلموه من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأخو بلال رضي الله عنه قال أريد أن أتزوج هذه المرأة القرشية يعني من علية القوم وكذا وبلال تعرفون التاريخ كان عبدا وكذا فهو أراد أنه يتشفع ببلال رضي الله عنه فذهب بلال رضي الله عنه مع أخيه وقال لهم نحن من قد علمتم طبعا اخوه قال له قول كلمتين كويسين وحبش الموضوع عشان الناس يوافقوا وكذا فقال بلال رضي الله عنه نحن من قد علمتم كنا عبدين فاعتقنا الله وكنا ضالين فهدانا الله وكنا فقيرين فاغنانا الله وهذا اخي جاءكم خاطبا فان تزوجوه فالحمد لله وان تردونا فالله اكبر فهم تشاوروا مع بعض وقالوا بلال صحابي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا نستطيع ان احنا نقول لا وزوجوه فين المشكله المشكله انه اخو بلال وهم راجعين البيت يعني احد يصيح على اخوه ويقول ايش بيك يعني انا جبتك عشان تقول كلمتين كويسين واحد تقول لهم عبدين وضالين وفقيرين ووسط الامور خالص اما كنت ذكرت سابقتنا مع رسول الله وجهادنا معه كذا فقال له بلال رضي الله عنه اسكت فإنما زوجك الصدق تمام so بلال رضي الله عنه his brother wanted to get married to a woman from the elite from Quraysh after they moved to Medina and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came back so he wanted to marry that woman so بلال رضي الله عنه of course his brother told him you know our situation when we go there to this family say very good things about us right so بلال رضي الله عنه started to give the khutbah to give the talk to the family and he said We are, what do you know about us? We used to be slaves before Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us freedom. We were miserable and Allah made us happy with Islam. We were poor and Allah made us rich. We were misguided and Allah gave us hidayah. So they said, Subhanallah, you are Bilal, yes, we know you and you are the Sahabi of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Of course, we'll accept your shafa'ah. We will marry your brother to our daughter, no problem. Mafish mushkila. On the way back, his brother was mad. He was saying, Subhanallah, I brought you here to say good things about us, and now you're talking about slavery, you're talking about misguidance, you're talking about poverty, what is this? So his brother said, if you got married to this lady, it is because of my honesty. This is hadiyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of our honesty. The last story that I will leave you with, inshallah, يعني أتي للحجاج كان الحجاج كان يخطب الجمعة وأطال ما كانوش بيتكلموا 20 دقيقة زي حالاتنا كده تمام؟ فالحجاج خطب وكان يطيل ساعتين وهو بيخطب ولسه بيسخن تمام؟ فبعدين قام رجل أعرابي وقال ايش بيك؟ احنا عايزين نصلي احنا مش فاضيين لك تمام؟ الصلاة فالوقت لا ينتظرك والرب لا يعذرك عاوزين نصلي مش فاضيين احنا تمام؟ فأمر به فألقيه في السجن فأخذ الأعرابي وحطوه في السجن معروف الجماعة بتوع المعتقلات وأمن الدولة حطوه في السجن فجاء قومه الرجل للسجن وقالوا يعني أصلحك الله أيها الأمير أخرجه فإنه مجنون ابننا مجنون وابنك ما تخش على كلامه هو مجنون طلعه فأتي بالرجل وقال الحجاز إن أقر بالجنون أطلقت سراحه فقال الرجل معاذ الله أن يعافيني وأزعم أنه قد ابتلاني ويقول ذلك أمام الحجاج يعني كيف أقول إن الله ابتلاني وقد عافاني فأعجب به الحجاج وأطلقه لأمانته تمام؟ So الحجاج was giving a talk خطبة الجمعة and he spoke for over 2 hours it was not like 20 hours like our time 2 hours and he was still warming up So one of the Arab got so mad and he said, آپ کے ساتھ کوئی مشکل ہے 2.5 hours? What's wrong with you? چلیے نماز ادا کریے We need to pray and go home. What's wrong with you? So he said, okay, put him in jail. خلاص. They put him in jail. Now the family of the man who is now in jail, they came to Al-Hajjaj and said, okay, set him free. He is majnoon. Crazy, right? Don't put him in jail. Let him go. He is crazy, majnoon. So Al-Hajjaj says, if he says in front of me that he is majnoon, he is crazy, I will let him go. They brought him in front of the Hajjaj, and Hajjaj said, are you crazy? Because your family are saying you are. He said, Subhanallah, Allah forbid, how can Allah give me sanity and made me intelligent, and I say that Allah made me majnoon? How can I blame Allah for something that he has not done to me? So Al-Hajjaj set him free because of his honesty. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins and accept our good deeds. As-salallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasool. Arsalahu rabbuhu rahmatan lil alameen. We mentioned at the beginning of the khutbah that dishonesty is one of the signs of the day of judgment. And a true believer is not dishonest. And the true believers do not betray their trust. The reason I'm saying this in the last couple of minutes of this khutbah, inshallah, I'm going to touch a little bit on what happened in Turkey. You heard about the coup last week. And I'm not going to talk about things from a political perspective. It's not my field. I'm not a politician. But I'll talk about things from an Islamic perspective. So we can have an overview of what is going on. There are so many stories in the Quran about prophets in particular. Where a prophet was betrayed and people tried to harm them. And at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he makes the ultimate plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the final plan. People make small plans here and there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ultimate plan. وَلَا يَكُونُ فِي مُلْكِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى In the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, his brothers tried to kill him, they threw him in the well, they sold him into slavery, and he was thrown into jail because they wanted to put him down, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him on the throne, على العرش, although they wanted to put him in al-bi'r, in the well. And they came and they cried at the end, we made a mistake. They sold him for a few worthless coins at the beginning of the story, and at the end, They brought him a few worthless coins begging for food because Allah put him in the top. And this is the irony in the story. In the story of Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun tried to kill him. Although Musa alayhi salam was a good man, they had to put him in the basket, throw him in the Nile River, the crocodiles and the currents, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. And at the end, Fir'aun was crying, "Amantu billadhi amana bihi banu Israel." He confessed his belief at the end, when it was already too late. But he was a tyrant. In the story of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they drove him out, and you know the rest of the story, he made it to Medina. And they tried to kill him several times. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was behind him and supporting him. So we learn from all these stories one thing. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, it doesn't matter who is against you. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is against you, it doesn't matter who is with you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yansur ibadahu al-mu'minun. So now when we look at the Turkish situation, I'm not saying that Turkey is the best country in the world. And I'm not saying that Erdogan is an angel. They are human beings. They've tried to do good things and they make mistakes here and there. But at least, to me at least, it's the best democracy in the Muslim world. When he took over 15 years ago, the economy was in the basement. The country was in trouble. People could not wear hijab and go to school. People couldn't pray freely in the masjid. No Arabic language and so on and so forth. And the people were persecuted. Now, alhamdulillah, there is a good situation. The economy is up. Turkey is well respected in the world wide, and so on and so forth. And a lot of Muslims in the Muslim world, except for some politicians and some governments, the rest of the Muslim world, they look up to Turkey as probably the best standing example of democracy in the Muslim world, and everyone is looking up to that country. So now imagine if the coup happened. Why would you do a coup? Is it because you don't like the economy? The economy is probably one of the best in Europe. Is it because it's not a Muslim government? From what I see, the man, he prays, he reads Quran, he's a good Muslim. Whatever he does in secret, it's between him and Allah. So in this case, it is not acceptable Islamically to betray your trust and to topple the government and shoot innocent people. Over 300 people were killed and over 1,500 were injured. The buildings, the parliament were destroyed and so on and so forth. Flights, Turkish Airlines, Khalas, they lost billions of dollars. Why would you do it? Why you see a reason to kill innocent people in the street? If you think the government is no good, vote in the election and vote them out, find a better alternative and vote them in. This is the Islamic way of doing things. Mashura and working together. But to disunite the Muslim community. And we see what happened in Lebanon, in other countries in the Muslim world, disunity, and people are fighting each other and so on and so forth. And I'm sure a lot of people who did the coup, like the regular soldiers, the people in the street who supported the coup, they were not aware of the big plan and the big agenda that was going on. People take orders and they do whatever, but they don't really know what is happening. So this is a lesson to me and you, that we should not follow things blindly without proof. And if someone, like a leader, is not doing something haram, like he's not coming out and saying, "I'm kafir," or he's making halal haram or haram halal, we listen and obey. And if you don't like someone, as I said, we should vote them out. You should not shoot people. Where do we get our tanks and our guns and so on from? From the taxes, from the people, the taxpayers. And the people trusted you with their lives, whether you are in the army or in the police or as a judge. Now you betray this trust, khiyanat al-amana that we spoke about in the first khutbah, and you go around and you shoot innocent people. We have seen a lot of videos killing people in the street, in cold blood, and so on and so forth. This is not the right way to bring about change in the Muslim world. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect Turkey and the people of Turkey. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the people of Syria, and the people of Iraq, and the people of Yemen, and the people of Egypt, and the people of Pakistan, and the people of Sudan, and all Muslims in the whole world. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect Muslims in Central Africa, and in Burma, and in other places in the Muslim world. Inshallah, after Salatul Jum'ah, we have the Turkish consul with us. Inshallah, he's going to talk for a couple of minutes to give us an overview. Those of you who would like to stay, inshallah, they are welcome. And after his talk, inshallah, If you follow the opinion of Imam Shafi and Imam Ahmad, who say that it is permissible to pray Salatul Ghaib for those who were killed over there, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept them as shaheed, then you are welcome, inshallah, to stay and pray Salatul Janazah with us over them, according to madhab of Imam Shafi and Imam Ahmad. If you follow Imam Abu Hanifa or other madhab, they say they already prayed Janazah for them, you don't have to, then it is up to inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give izzah to Islam and Muslims. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our good deeds and to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us the right way and to give us sincerity in everything we say and do. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ.